Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
This. Hey, have you seen his Instagram?
They need
is Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
The 0-1. Swung on and ripped to deep left field. That ball is going to be off the wall. Torres scores. It's a ribby single off the wall by McCutchen. The Yankees take a 3-0 lead.
And this is ugly as David Price leaves here, the booing here.
Home runs are bad enough, but the two walks at the bottom of the order against Torres and Gardner just can't happen.
After we won game one, you know, to go out there and have that opportunity to go up 2-0, you know, and to throw the baseball the way that I did, you know, it's definitely tough. But you know, my spirits are down, my confidence isn't down. You know, I'm looking forward to getting back out there and getting another opportunity.
What? You're what? Not in this series.
He did it again. He did it again, Maz. Jim Murray.
I can't believe you believed in this guy.
I can't believe he did it again.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
I can't. No, I mean, I can believe it. Of course I can believe it. But I also, I can't believe he did it again.
I'm telling you, the most astonishing thing about this guy is that you can set your watch by him.
I can't believe he did it again.
I'm telling you, it must be October. Because every time he gets to the mound and craps his pants, the leaves are changing colors. I'm telling you, it's uncanny. Uncanny. You can set your freaking watch by this guy.
The whole thing. It's a psychological study. It is. I'm now fascinated by it. That you can be that good and that solid and that steady and then just get in a different kind of game and it falls apart. Like the whole thing with the labored breathing and the twitching and the whole thing. It's I can't believe he did it again, Mass.
You know,
did it again.
You know, and it's not a perfect. You remember David Duval, the golfer who like just lost it? I feel like this guy's borderline heading the same way. It feels like it's getting worse.
Yeah, it's like an anxiety attack in real time. You're watching it. This guy have a mental meltdown on the mound.
But don't tell me you're not in awe of it. Like,
it is. It is captivating.
We talked about it for 5 straight months. Yes, but what about October? Yes, but what about October? Well, this year's different. Is it going to be different? I don't know. Let's see. And he goes out there and he does the exact same thing.
He can't handle it.
That's mind-blowing, you have to admit. You have to appreciate that. That he's able to do that so consistently, it blows me away.
I mean, he can't handle it. And you know what the other thing? He can't handle it. Can't handle the pressure. Can't handle it. And the other thing is, it's not going to get fixed. And when I say that, I mean this. You can't start him in this series. I mean, that's out. You're not pitching him in game 4 in New York, so forget that. And what are you going to do? Pitch him here in game 5? You're going to put him out there in game 5 of a playoff series and deciding game 5 as a starter? No shot. So no matter what happens, let's say they win the series. Next year, when he faces the Yankees, same thing. It's still there. It's not going away.
Am I stupid to say that every dog has his day and that he'll eventually break through?
Yeah.
Or is it over?
It's over.
You're right. I'm stupid.
I'm telling you, I just think...
Why did I buy in? Why did I think?
Because he looked so good in the regular season post-All-Star break.
I'm like, you're not going to do this again, are you? You're not going to do this again.
Well, no, you're playing the odds. That's why. Because you say sooner or later,
eventually,
he's going to win. The talent is good enough that he's going to win.
You can't do that every single time, can you?
Apparently you can.
And so you've got to admit, as predictable in hindsight as it seems, the fact that he does it every single time is freaking amazing.
No, that's what I mean. It's the most astonishing part of the whole thing is you can set your calendar by it. You really can. You don't even need a freaking calendar, date book, or anything.
I can't believe
you
did
just
it again.
Look up.
Honestly,
and if David Price is on the mound choking in what looks like a big game, it's October.
Oh my god, with the hand flexing, and that's the new twitch that we picked up late in the series. You know, that the Fortnite stretch or something. That's a new one. You know, you got to add that to your repertoire there, Murray.
Because it used to just be, breathe in, tug, tug, twitch. Now I got the twitch. Now we got the twitch, don't want to throw. And he had less pressure on him because they won on Friday night. That's what really makes it kind of amazing.
So, I mean, it's just staggering. It's amazing. It's unbelievable that it's so believable, if you know what I mean. It's still unbelievable that he does that every time. Insane to me. The second most striking thing, maybe the most striking thing, is Alex Cora, I think, had less faith in him than we did.
Yes, he was quick.
That was a quick hook.
Oh, it was big time.
I'm sorry, even for him, even for Price and knowing what we know, it's two outs in the second inning.
Correct.
You've got a long way to go in that ballgame, and you had just totally ran through your bullpen the night before. So you needed length from Price. He had, obviously given up two long homers, but then two walks. And then, so McCutcheon single, wobble, obviously that brought him out. But it's like, boy, that was quick.
Fast. Yeah, I mean, lightning fast. Immediately, he said, that's it, I'm done, you're out. I was surprised by it at the time.
Me too.
I was surprised. That was lightning fast. And you know what it was? Also, the two walks killed him. So I think Cora's sitting there going, you got to be kidding me. Get the bottom of the order here. Now you're going to put men on base, and now you bring McCutcheon up in this ballpark. And then McCutcheon, truth be told, it should have been 5-0.
Well, yeah. Right. Any other ballpark, that's a home run.
Should have been. So Cora's sitting there saying to himself, I'm lucky this game's not 5-0 and we're dead. So you know what? I'm getting his ass out of there now.
But
he couldn't get out there fast enough.
Wow. Cora was more afraid of him crapping his pants than we were. Because usually you're giving your guy a chance to get out of that. What, you know, the kind of year he had.
I mean, he's been around him. He knows the player. He knows what a puddle he becomes in those kind of situations.
Oh, my God. What a puddle. What an absolute puddle. What an embarrassment. Dude, that's embarrassing. Don't you think he's embarrassed? Doesn't he have to be embarrassed?
Well, that's his lowest moment. Like, I didn't think it could get, worse than that start in Cleveland a couple of years ago where he went, 3 1/3 or whatever the hell it was to the 2-5-0. That on Saturday night is the lowest moment for him here.
I mean, to me, it's the definition of pathetic. And when I say that, I mean that literally.
Yeah, no, it's
like
pathetic.
You feel bad for him. It gets to the point where and to me, that's the worst thing that can ever happen to you if you're an athlete.
I feel sorry for the guy.
Competitively, you look at him and go, this guy just, he can't hack it. He's too weak. He can't handle it. He's too soft.
Oh.
And you know what? The sad thing is, I think they get more than one guy like that on that pitching staff.
Not like that. There's nothing like that.
No. He's a Hall of Famer when it comes to that.
Oh, my God. That is a world unto himself. That is just unbelievable. I know what happened 2 nights ago. I know everyone's talking about it, but I'm sorry. That is insane that he did that again. He did it again. He did it again. His manager wouldn't even let him get through the second inning. He only gave up 3 runs, and the manager wouldn't let him. The manager was so in tune with his, leaky bowel syndrome, whatever, that he yanked him after 1 2/3. That is embarrassing.
Yeah, couldn't get him out of there fast enough. Could not get him out of the game fast enough.
Okay, so Red Sox-Yankees, that's what we're doing today, folks. It's an abbreviated show. Obviously, we followed the Bruins there. You want to weigh in? 617-779-0985. How do you feel about the series, Maz? Give me a take before we hit the break.
So, look, I don't think it's over. I mean, I think a lot of people are saying it's over. They can't win in New York. I don't feel that way. They can win in New York. It's not going to be easy. And the Yankees have been unbeaten down there over the last, season plus in postseason play. But, I think they can win down there. They can beat Severino. They can beat Sabathia. But you got to get the series back here. Now, you're not winning 2 down there, I don't think.
Don't you feel that they should be down 0-2?
Yes. Pretty close.
They were fortunate to get out of that first
pretty
game.
Close. I mean, look, again, they got a head neck. Like, we could just easily look at Jay Happ and say, well, he crapped his pants, and I think he did. But they held on for dear life. Now, again, in that first game, so were they lucky? Yeah. Yeah, because their bullpen isn't good. We know that. What if they score? If they scored how many runs now? They've scored 3 runs since the first inning of the first game.
So the offense to me is new, and that I wasn't expecting. But what is just... To talk about that bullpen every day for 6 months, and this ain't going to be good, this ain't going to be good enough, this ain't going to be good enough, and then they get in the first game, and every guy they bring out throws the ball 50 feet. They're chucking the ball into the netting there, every other pitch in the bullpen, and that bullpen is just dying to give the thing away.
I think it was the first pitch by Brazzers on Friday night, base hit. It's like, okay, here it comes. Well, maybe it'll be a couple of pitches. Base hit, here we go. Oh, you got to be kidding me with these losers.
And do you remember Price's first pitch?
Price's first pitch was
into the dirt.
Dirt.
Into the dirt.
They're dirting half their pitches. So like we spend all that time on the bullpen, and then game one, absolute bolt. Like everything, it's unbelievable that everything we've bitched about for 6 months just came right there in your face in the first two games.
No, they need a sewage system on the mound. A septic tank.
Hazmat suits there. It's unbelievable. Can someone reach the plate? So what? The Yankees, our guy Stanton, Giancarlo Stanton's the reason this is 1-1. He killed him in game one.
What a hack that guy is.
He is. He's pure slugger.
I know he's gotten a couple hits, but boy, a couple bases loaded situations. One hit from him, and that game's wide open, and you've lost that one. Or Torres had a big one, too, right? Like, boy, you just survived Friday night. But it's like all your flaws, all these problems, they're right there. And Chris Sale was good, probably better than, you could expect in a vacuum, but he still went, what, 5 1/3? 5 2/3?
Yeah, his performance to me is getting overrated. I've heard a lot of people talk about this and say they thought Sale was great. Sale was not great.
No, but what you need is length. You have a horrible bullpen. He's your ace. The second guy is a complete and utter puddle. Clinical. So for this to work, the ace has to be not just good, but he's got to give you innings. And he still turned it over to the bullpen.
Yeah, look at even in the 5 1/3 he was in there, he was good. He wasn't great. He wasn't like he was at his peak. So I think both ways. And then the pitch count was way too high. And beyond that, they pulled him in the mid-90s again. So you look at it and say, is this guy ever going to get to the point where they'll let him go more than 90, 95 pitches? We felt this way in September. He was behind. He clearly wasn't going to be ready at the start of the postseason.
Okay. Red Sox, Yankees, how you feeling? 617-779-0985. Two right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Matt Barnes, Heath Henry, Joe Kelly, and those other guys.
It's time to spin the wheel of gutless bums. Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high leverage situation late in the game? Now, let's spin the wheel. And today's gutless bum is the jackpot of Sox.
The Yankees' primary goal is to get into that bullpen. They have finally done that, and now it'll be Ryan Brazier.
One swing of the bat could flip this game quickly, and that's a base hit inside the bag. Hits the sidewall. Gardner stumbles around third, but he'll score easily.
Workman comes out for the seventh, gives up back-to-back hits. The Yankees back in business now. And there is Barnes.
Ground ball. Nunez to second. Out. Throw to first. Not in time. A run will score. Crowd does not like this move right here. They think Porcello can get through it. The manager feels otherwise, and he's going to bring in his horse, his closer, asking four outs of one of the game's premier stoppers. Kimbrel is in, and Judge rips one right field. Long way to go, Betts. He's at the wall, and she's gone. Aaron Judge with a solo home run. It's a one-run game.
I mean, what's unbelievable is that just went to script. I don't remember seeing two games go to the script. We've been bitching all year about the bullpen and the wheel of gutless bums. And game one, it's like, boom. Everything we said. I mean, Felger Mass, like everybody. Right to the script. And then David Price immediately comes out in game two and craps his pants. Dumps a big load right on the mound there at Fenway Park again. So that's unbelievable. It's rare that it goes to script like that.
Or usually when it goes to script, it's because a dominant guy goes out and dominates.
Right?
But this way, again, that thing Friday night, to jump back to that for a minute, that was a freaking fire drill is what that was. That was a fire drill. Game one of the playoffs. Game one. You have to go to your number three starter to pitch the eighth inning. Game one. For crying out loud. That's the kind of crap you have to do in game five of a series. Not game one. Right out of the gate. The manager's sounding the alarms and he's got them doing the fire drill out there. unbelievable. The whole thing's unbelievable. That one, in a lot of ways, got me more. Because that one, I felt has been, that was fixable.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That one was fixable. Price, not fixable. I mean, there's just damage there.
No. That's clinical. They need to do a study of him.
It's anxiety or lack of competitive spirit. It's something with that.
No, it's anxiety.
They need a study. He's clinical. That is, wow. That's just amazing. But the bullpen thing, like, that took no time either. And boy, are you lucky to get out of that one. Yeah, every other guy bouncing pitches before the plate. 3-2 counts, bases loaded. Like, oh.
The Red Sox have played 2 games in the playoffs, and their relievers have walked 8 guys in 12 innings.
Hey.
I'm telling you, it's like they're blindfolded.
Your reaction. Pat in the car, lead us off today. Go, Pat.
Guys, I don't know how much more we needed to see or how much more we needed to talk about it, but this is David Price in a nutshell. He does not belong as a starting pitcher. Maybe during the regular season, he's okay, but once you get into these big situations, and like you said, this is game number 2. He should have had this one in the bag, or at least shown us something, and that's awful. He's either your seventh inning guy, and that fixes that problem, because he was okay last year when he came in for those innings here and there.
Well, let me stop you. So he's in the bullpen now. Cora said that today. He's in the bullpen. How do you bring him out in the mound at Yankee Stadium in anything approaching a high leverage situation?
Well, then you're going to have to pick a spot in the middle of the game where it's not so bad.
No, he's a mop-up guy. Are you going to bring him out in an at-bat that matters?
Okay,
no.
Who are you bringing him over him, other than maybe Brazier?
We'll spin the wheel of gutless bumps.
Yeah.
We'll pick one.
But
you can't bring that guy out.
Oh, see, in the right spot, I would still do it. Maybe not tonight, though.
So, for example, what's the spot?
If you're up 2-1 in game 4.
And Gardner's up, like, against a lefty?
Yeah, lefty-lefty. Yep. Take away right field at Yankee Stadium, have Price thrown to the outside part of the plate, and maybe he gives you an inning or an out.
Yeah. No, a batter. Gardner, that's it. That's all he gets to have.
I mean, that might be it. That might be it. But again, what are your other options?
This freaking guy.
You can't start him.
Lineup today, Nunez is out at third. Devers is in. Kinsler is out at second. Holt is in. So a little bit of panic there. Harry in Rhode Island wants to weigh in. Go ahead, Harry.
Hey, fellow Maz, how you doing? That's exactly what I was calling in to comment on. I righty on the mound, where the hell was Brock Holt? Devers, that first major issue with Cora with his decision making on this one here. And where the hell was Swihart? I mean, put his bat in the lineup.
Okay, so Swihart, but your thoughts on the lineup, man?
So, look, I think everyone knew it was coming, and I don't think you do it after game 1. You won the game. Tanaka can be tougher on lefties than righties with that split. So, you're ahead. You give those guys who you started in game 1 a chance to come out of it. Like, I don't have any issue with that. But now looking at it, you got to get Severino's death on right-handed batters. I mean, if he has a slider, he's death. Take a shot. And the other thing is bring right field into play in New York. In New York, Holt can pop one out of there. So Devers obviously can hit one out anywhere. He went out left center last year against Chapman. So I'll take a shot there. And the other thing is at third base, your quote-unquote better defensive third baseman sucks defensively.
He sucks.
He's not good either.
He sucks.
So you might as well go with the guy who can hit one out of the ballpark. Like, you get to that stage, you're not getting good defense either way, so you might as well play for the home run there.
Who else do you look at in the lineup, Maz?
Betts. Betts is a big one. He's 1-for-7. So, look, Betts all in all, game 1 was okay. Made a good defensive play, had a hit in that game. But in this last one, he was bad. And he's one of the guys they lean on. You can't be an instrumental part of an offense, a vital cog, and the MVP of the league in all probability. You can't be that guy and disappear in playoff games. You can't do it.
So what's also aggravating is Moreland should be in the lineup tonight. It's that, you've said he's Severino's death on righties. Pierce is in at first because Moreland tweaked a hamstring.
Right, exactly.
Which should never happen.
No, it shouldn't happen. It's right. Yeah, it shouldn't happen.
No one should. Like, those little, muscle injuries for baseball players, just stretch. And especially a guy who doesn't rely on his speed, what are you doing?
Or how about just stay in shape? Stay in shape. And you know what? I even go back to the Stephen Wright thing on that one. I'm sorry. That one pissed me off, too. And I get the sense after that game that Cora was pissed off. Now, look, it feels like they toned it down. But I wonder if Wright had something going on and he hit it from him.
I was going to say, how do you put him on the roster and then declare him?
Correct. Right? So, the whole story is that it happened at 4 o'clock the night of the game.
How?
he claims He was turning around and felt something in his knee.
Just turning around like, hey, Steve, yeah. You mean like that?
Or on his feet. Yeah, I don't know if he was turning around like with his shoulders, but with his knees. Like turning on his legs.
What do you mean turning on his legs?
Turning, like he was standing up and he turned around to walk in the other direction and something happened.
Yeah, so he was just walking around.
Oh, that's it.
Bullcrap.
That's what I say.
Bullcrap.
Yeah, bullcrap is right. I think he hit it from him. I think that he's probably been dealing with something and it was there and he pitched through it because he wanted to be on the playoff roster and he didn't tell him about it. And then all of a sudden on the day of the game, and maybe he too forgot to bring his diapers to the ballpark that night because the Yankees were in town. Who the hell knows? I don't know. But then all of a sudden maybe he looked up and he said, hey, huh? Oh, it's the playoffs. My knee hurts. I don't know. And again, I mean, I have a hard time sitting here and stating this as fact, so don't take it as fact. But it feels like they have an awfully lot of soft guys, especially on that pitching staff. On the day the playoffs start, a guy they were going to lean on in the eighth inning or in late innings out of the bullpen tweaks a knee and is out. Moreland pulls a hamstring and is out. Price gets on the mound, and it's just complete loss of all bodily function. Then, game one, the relievers that they put in the game, the parade of relievers, one after the other, none of them can get the ball to the plate. Mm. So how do you look at that staff and feel like there's any sort of grit there? To me, I don't know. I just don't know how you solve that. Now, look, maybe there'll be a dramatic turnaround. It goes game to game at this time of year, so I don't want to tell you that I think it's impossible for them to come back. But after those two games, it's hard to think they're any different than they've been the last two Octobers.
Murray, give us an update, then we're back with more.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Mass.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Location, you know, 02 or 12. Backdoor cutter to Judge, lifts it over the middle plate. Then backdoor cutter to Sanchez. He was leaning out of the plate and he extended. And then McCutchen got on top of the fastball. You know, it's all about location.
It's Coron David Price. You have a thought on that, Mass?
I do, because I think that Price pitches like a wuss. I don't know any other way to say it. And the home run to Sanchez sticks out to me, the second one. The first one Sanchez hit, the second one of the game in the second inning. That it was a cutter on the outside part of the... And I've hated that pitch since Price got here. Okay, hate it. Because if you miss, the ball tails in the middle of the plate, it gets killed. And that was the two home runs he gave up to start the game. Sanchez also was leaning on that pitch. You can see it. He's out on his front foot and he reaches out and he still hits it into the left field seats. If you're David Price, the next time you face that guy, which might not be until 2019, probably won't be until 2019, how are you not knocking him off the plate and either drilling him or, you know, getting in so close to him that he hears the ball go by his chin? One or the other. You got to get in there. You can't just leave the ball over the middle of the plate and finesse. You can't do it. I would love for him to just show some sack. Grab the ball and fire it on the inner part of the plate. And if you hit the guy in the kneecap, so be it.
Oh, he's too busy panting. I feel like he needs an oxygen tank out there. Oh, my God. The panic. The utter panic. It's the second inning, dude. First inning. Like, the utter panic that comes across that guy. It is just remarkable. Do you think Aaron Judge got all of his?
Oh, my God.
Sanchez hit it more against Rodriguez. They were both rockets.
The Judge home run?
Smash.
I'm sorry. That was a moonshot. That was unbelievable.
The one Sanchez hit off of E-Rod's one of the longest home runs I've ever seen at Fenway Park. That thing was an absolute freaking... They should have put a transponder on it so whoever caught it on the pike could pay the toll on the way. But what a freaking bomb. That was... Oh, my God. It was an absolute freaking Scud missile. That thing was what was it, 479?
Something like that, yeah.
Holy crap! I don't think I've seen a home run that long at Fenway Park in 40 years.
No, I think, Eddie, at least Eddie Reyes showed some good hustle in that game.
He did.
Oh my God, there's just so many issues. It's unbelievable how it all comes out. It's unbelievable that it's so descript. I'm blown away by just how it's like everything you bitch about. It just came up in those first two games. It's insane. Mike in Fitchburg, your thoughts?
So I want to bring some sanity to the conversation about the bullpen. So I watched the same games you did. They look like crap with those 58-foot pitches and everything else. But there were moments, like Brandon Workman, he didn't look great, but when he needed to get it out and not give up the lead or let them get it tied, he got a huge strikeout of Stanton. And then there were other situations where there were three different times where there were infield ground balls that could have been double plays but just weren't hit hard enough to get double plays. So there were those situations as well. And then of all people, Joe Kelly comes out of the bullpen in game two.
So what does that mean, Mike? So now because Joe Kelly came in garbage time, sorry, and, you know, cleaned up a mess and got through some innings early in a ball game.
This narrative's starting to bother me.
It's bugging me too.
Now this is like something to hang your hat on.
Yeah, listen, this is lipstick on a pig.
What pressure was he facing at that point?
Zero. I don't want to say zero, but minimal.
Yeah, the whole thing is lipstick on a pig. Now we're talking about balls that were hit softly. How about getting a strikeout?
And the call is right. Was it Workman that struck out Torres?
Yeah, Gleyber Torres.
With a really good curveball.
Yeah.
Really good pitch.
Okay, good. One pitch.
Exactly. Exactly. So
he walked on four straight pitches.
Every one of them walked a guy.
He's trying to say that the bullpen so far has given him some faith.
No.
No.
What do you want, crack?
I'm just telling you what the caller said.
It was a bad at-bat by Torres with bases loaded there, too. And your boy there, though, the one cut from Stone. Why am I drawing
a blank? Oh, my God, Stanton.
Stanton.
Oh.
What a puke.
One man wrecking crew in game one.
And his at-bat in the ninth. Dude, swing the bat.
How embarrassing
that
was that?
That was pathetic.
Oh, my God.
Like, yeah, three pitches.
First time you ever saw a curveball.
Yeah, three pitches and didn't swing once.
How badly did Kimbrel buckle him on one of them anyway? Like, you've never seen an off-speed pitch? You were just that. I mean, how out to lunch was Stanton on some of those?
Brutal. And the ninth inning was the worst because you got a guy like that who has more power than anybody on the planet.
Did he not swing?
He didn't swing. Three pitches. Did not swing. 5-4 game. Judge had already homered. So now the ball.
Three strikes looking.
Right. The ball that Judge hit, like, honestly, on that one, I half tipped my cap.
Oh, my God.
Curveball
inside, and he goes the other way.
Right. Curveball into the bullpen at Fenway, right-handed batter. Like, hey, fine. You're just great. Okay, that's it. Like, I can live with that one. And so now you get a 5-4 game, and Stanton, who can hit it out of the Grand Canyon, doesn't swing the bat in a one-run game. Like, to me, that's like a borderline benchable offense.
Kenny in Maine, your thoughts on David Price? Kenneth?
Yes.
You're on the air. Please go quickly.
Good afternoon, guys. A couple of quick ones. I think we all ought to get together, scrounge up a quarter, call David Price a cab, tell him to get the hell out of Dodge, and tell him not to come back.
So let me stop you there. How do you pitch him at all? How do you pitch him at all? He's in the bullpen. The sight of Yankee Stadium gives him the bacon strip in his underwear. Just driving by the stadium, he loses function.
Sausage link.
Okay?
Sleepless nights, just chewing on his pillow. Same problem again, honey.
I was thinking about the stadium.
Spits out some feathers.
It's like you chewing on your sleeve.
Yeah. So you can't pitch him in Yankee Stadium. Can you send him back out of Fenway if he just got his ass booed off the field?
I don't think so.
I don't think you can pitch him. I don't think you can pitch him.
I mean, I don't know. I still think at some point they're going to have to use him.
How petrified was Cora of him? That to me was the most striking thing, too.
Terrified.
Cora wouldn't let him finish the second inning. He had two outs. He couldn't trust him to get one more at bat after he just burned through his whole bullpen the night before. He needed length. And he wouldn't let David Price get one more out in the second inning. He was that. Here comes Judge. He said, nope, that's it, buddy. I've seen this. I saw this 10 minutes ago. We ain't doing this again.
Yeah, absolutely right. He couldn't get away from him fast enough.
Oh, my God.
But I still think there's a chance he pitches again in this series. I do.
I mean, in a real situation.
I don't know. I mean, again, what are the options? Who, Barnes?
We're going to spin the wheel of gutless bums.
But Hembry?
Vroom, we're going to spin the wheel, Maz.
I'm telling you, they may have to go to him again because they don't have anyone else. Which is the most, again, one of the more disturbing parts of the whole thing. I don't know that any of it's fixable.
Let's get to Eddie Rodriguez right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
What a soft roller. Rodriguez got to get over. Moreland backhands. Rodriguez not there. And Judge beats it out. An infield hit. He never broke from the mound. He didn't show any hustle to try to make up for it. It's almost like he gave up on the play. Now, it's always a little more difficult for the left-hander, but you can see him running, whether he's hurt or not, but he never really put any hustle into a huge play to start the seventh.
Swung on, there it goes, deep left center. It is high, it is far, it is gone! A three-run home run for the Sanchino. Oh, Scary Gary hits a three-run blast in the deep left center field seats. And the Yankees take a 6-1 lead.
Salt in the wounds there, sorry. That was a train wreck of an inning. You even got lucky. I still don't know how they reversed that play at second base.
They shouldn't have. There wasn't enough there to overturn that.
That was all the same sequence, right? Like, Rodriguez doesn't cover first, and it's part of that whole thing. They get the out at second only after a challenge, which I still don't see. I thought the guy was safe. And then Sanchez hits that bomb. That was a rocket.
Oh, yeah. It was an absolute smash. I mean, just an absolute freaking smash.
Did Cora leave Eddie Rodriguez in there too long?
Yep. He did. Yep. But again, it's the wheel of gutless bums. Like, I'm not making Cora exempt. I just think that the manager right now is way down on the list.
Playing the hand he's been dealt with.
Oh, God, the bullpen is an absolute train wreck. And Eduardo Rodriguez should be, like, if you could cut a guy in the middle of a series, you'd cut him.
Absolutely.
Like, really, that was embarrassing. And what's worse is that he then lied about it afterward.
Did he say something about being hurt in the
ankle? No, he said he slipped.
Oh, please.
So he said he slipped. He slipped coming off the mound. And then to Cora's credit, we do have the Cora, right? To Cora's credit, Cora called him out on it.
With Erod last night, was that acceptable when he didn't cover first?
I just talked to him. I actually told him that just be accountable. That's it. I guess he told you guys he slipped or something like that. And like, if you don't break right away, just be accountable. You know, that's what we asked. And he's like, yeah, my fault. You know, I just didn't break. That's it. Like, man, I get it. You know, next time, just bust your ass to first base. That's all you got to do. The thing is that I look at the play, it's not guaranteed he's going to be out, but we probably have a chance, you know. And where we at right now at this stage, we can't take plays off. We didn't do that the whole season. It just happened yesterday. But I talked to him, and we're in the same page, and hopefully the next ground ball to first, he goes to first, and we get him.
Okay, so good for Cora.
That's great.
Oh, totally, right? Be accountable. Don't lie about it. You quit on the play. End of story. And it happens, fine. And the other part of it is that, as he went on, you know, we haven't done that all year. We're not going to start now. I mean, that was his message. That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing during the regular season, let alone during the playoffs. But during the regular season, you half tolerate it, depending on how the game goes.
So he just sort of added up, you know. What was the play that Moreland tore his strained his hamstring?
It was when he was crossing the plate, I think, if I remember right. You remember that?
So
Mike?
Now
rounding third, headed for home.
So they showed a replay of it, and just as he was like going down the line, he kind of reached and grabbed, and then he didn't come out to play defense the next inning.
Okay, so your wheel of gutless bums bullpen can't throw the ball more than 58 feet. You've got David Price absolutely losing bowel function again on the mound in a playoff game. A lot of people wanted Rodriguez in the rotation. He stops hustling and gives up on plays and then gives up a three-run bomb.
And he's still just slapping it up there.
And your first baseman, who shouldn't be running, you know, shouldn't be straining anything, is now out. You need a left-handed bat tonight against Severino. You got to go with a righty in Pierce because your left-handed first baseman strained a hamstring. It's like, I don't know.
Lack of toughness.
Lack of toughness or something.
Too many soft guys. Yeah.
I'm trying to put that all into one bow or one storyline, but I feel like there's something there.
Yes,
like
too many soft guys on the roster. To me, that's what it is. Too many soft guys on the team, mentally, physically, or otherwise.
I mean, before that
too
Sanchez,
many soft guys.
Before that Sanchez bomb, Rodriguez is nibbling. You could tell he was afraid that something bad was coming. That's the way he was pitching, like something bad is coming. Here it is, bomb.
No, and that's what it is, Murray. It's fear. Fear. They're afraid. Otherwise, why can't you throw a strike? You're afraid it's going to get hit. You're afraid. Too many soft guys on the team. Too many. Most of them are on the pitching staff. So, like, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think, you know, Benintendi's soft. Or I don't know. Like, the positional guys, to me, feel like they've got some grit to them. But the pitching staff?
Oy.
Soft.
Oy.
Soft staff. Save for a couple of guys. Porcello's got balls. He doesn't have the stuff to pitch late in the game, but he's got balls. And you know what? At this stage, I'll take my chances. Give me a guy with balls who will throw a strike versus a guy who throws 98 and is afraid to put it over the plate. It drives me bananas. So you have that kind of stuff, and you're nibbling. Throw it over the damn plate!
Angelo and Everett, your thoughts. Hi, Angelo.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I think tonight, this is a must-win. Nathan Eovaldi has to pitch like Chris Sale, go deep into the game, and score some runs. If they don't win tonight, it's over. You're going to have CeCe's the bat there in New York. Even though he's older, he's still a finesse pitcher. He can get you very easy.
Okay, so I don't think it's over. If you lose tonight, you just need one. And then you take your chances with Sale at home in Game 5. Like, I think you're fine going forward.
Sure.
Just providing that you
wake up.
Yeah, that you wake up, right? Providing that you wake up. But there is something there that Nathan Eovaldi, who, again, just 2 weeks ago, you didn't know if he was going to be the eighth inning guy or what, is now, well, number two on the staff because David Price ain't going again.
Correct. It's a big night for Dombrowski, too, because remember, this is the guy you opted for at the deadline instead of relief help. So here you go. Here's your chance. Now, if Eovaldi comes out and pitches big, then big check mark for Dombrowski. Here you go. All right, this is the guy we picked up, and in a big spot, he came through. I do feel, though, that like as the series goes on, the games in New York are going to get tougher, not easier. Right? So if you lose the first one, the second one gets harder. So in theory, tonight should be the easier game to win. Because if you show up tomorrow night down 2-1.
It's about their chance to close out.
Right. And that crowd, again, you're like walking into the Coliseum for crying out loud.
Stephen Taunton, your thoughts.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Let's just say, offensively, we need quality at-bats. Game 2 was pathetic. Game 1 was pathetic. Can't have Mookie Betts 1-for-7. That is ridiculous. We are not going to win this series unless we score early and often.
Okay, so not just Betts, Maz, but do you see something with their approach offensively overall? So undisciplined against Tanaka.
So I think that they chased out of the zone on Tanaka. He'll do that to you, though. Like, you know, I thought Tanaka pitched really well. I mean, when he misses, he just misses under the knee. He never gives you anything in the middle of the zone. It's just off the plate to the side, one way or the other. Like, you know, Tanaka's good. I'll take him in a big game any day of the week. That guy's got nuggets. He's not afraid, clearly, and he'll go right on the edge there. He's not afraid. So, you know, to me, the one that drove me batty was Kinsler. He was so predictable that they were going to throw him breaking balls down and he couldn't lay off. He has struck out 5 times in the series. I thought Kinsler was a waste when they acquired him. I feel like he's a bigger waste now. I mean, you've gotten to this stage and Brock Holt's your better option. So, you know, I think that Tanaka baited him a little bit and they took the cheese and they chased.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.